Okay, so we're going back. It's Davov Amud Aleph, the beginning of Perek Beis. The Nefesh Hashenis B'Yisrael, the second soul. So the first chapter he discussed what he called the Nefesh HaBahamis, which is the living soul, that which gives life, that which is common to all human beings. Now, he's addressing that soul which is unique to Jews alone. The Nefesh Hashenis B'Yisrael, the second soul among Jews, he chelik elikayim imal mamish. It is literally, and this language is brought in numerous sources of Sefer Mikubalim, and even it's brought, they bring that there's a Marsha and an Arachayim HaKadosh. This is a language which is brought in numerous places, that the soul of the Jew is literally made up of sheer godliness. And this becomes a central theme in all the Svarim of the Sefer Talmid of Hashem. This becomes a bedrock, fundamental piece of information, and that is that we don't have to create it. We have within ourselves that which is a spark of the divine. And now he's going to go into great depth describing what that spark is and what it does for us. First, he brings several kind of proofs or ways for us to be able to understand what it is. First, you say this, like it says in Bereshis, v'yipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, that Hashem blew into Adam Rishon a living soul. And as we say in the bracha every morning, v'ata nefachta bi, we say that Hashem, you blew the soul into me. Now, the Zohar explains that when somebody blows, unlike speech, which is external, you could speak all day long and not get tired. If a person blows, they blow deep from within themselves. And as a result, it is exhausting, because a person is literally blowing out their chiyus. They're blowing out their life source. And therefore, pirish mitechiyusai umipnimiyusai, the person is blowing from deep within themselves, from their essence, shetechiyus upnimiyus hachiyus shaba'adam, moitzi benefichiyosai bikayach. When a person blows with strength, when they blow with depth, they blow their essence. And as a result, when the Pasuk in Bereshis wants to describe to us what is the essence of man, Pasuk doesn't use the same word as it uses throughout the rest of creation, which is Vayidaber Elikim, Vayidaber Elikim, and Hashem spoke, and Hashem spoke. No. Man is different. There we have Vayipach Be'apav, Hashem blew. Now, last week Avi asked the very fundamental question, which was, that wasn't only the creation of Jews, that was the creation of all humans. So why is this, why are you saying that this only applies to Jews? So I looked into that matter a little bit more. And what's clear from the Kabbalistic works, which is rather spooky, is that when Hashem originally created man, at the moment of Yipach Bahapov, he only created Jews. It was only at the moment that Adam Rishon sinned by eating of the Etz Hadas, when he brought into himself those foreign objects, that there became two species of humans. The Jews and non-Jews. But at this moment, so the Ve'yipach Ba'apav, this neshama, this stream of neshama, was uniquely Jewish.
Didn't you say last week was Ha'asina?
The what?
Didn't you say last week?
Yeah. Ha'asina? So there are several different approaches, but this is the one that really spoke most direct to this issue. Kena derech mashal. Now he's going to take it another step. And that is, this is not going to reach. Okay. And the next step is Nishmas Yisrael Alu B'machshava. Here's the next step. And we need to explain this again on several different levels. This language is the language of Chazal. Okay? Yisrael Alu B'machshava. The Klal Yisrael, unlike the rest of the world which were created with Dibur, Klal Yisrael is created with Machshava. What's Machshava? Machshava is thought. Okay? Now, when we talk about Dibur, Maise, Machshava, those three things, we're going to see later in Tanya, that those are referred to as Levushim. Those are referred to as three garments. What does it mean? What is a garment? A garment is not the person. A garment is something that the person dresses themselves in. Or if you will, it's an expression. There are three expressions of the neshama. One of them is thought. The second one is speech. And the third is action. Those neshamas, those levushim, those forms of expression go from the most personal to the least personal. Machshava, our thoughts, are the most personal thing that we have. In fact, real thought can never be totally expressed in any which way. If you think about it, at the moment of greatest intensity of machshava, you can't speak. You become tongue twisted. You get so excited, you can't even get the thoughts into words. Going externally from one step to the next least intimate thing is speech, and finally there's action. Action is the least intimate. But the most personal, the most intimate, is thought. Klal Yisrael, the Chazal are trying to express to us how special, how unique Klal Yisrael is. So they say, the rest of the world was created with Dibur. Now, we know we're dealing with God here, right? There are none of these divisions by God. There's no such thing as speech. There's no such thing as thought. There's no such thing. The Torah uses these words to be able to give us a glimpse into something that we can handle. But the Torah is using these words to give us an understanding of how intimate and how close these things are to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. The rest of the world is created with Dibur. Klal Yisrael, all of b'machshava. Klal Yisrael are so one with our Kadosh Baruch Hu that they were all of b'machshava, not with speech, but with thought. And we'll take this, let him finish the thought. No puns intended. Kedichsev, b'ni b'chayr Yisrael. As the Pasuk says, my son, Klal Yisrael. Now what's the Pasuk trying to tell us? We're not sons of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a different religion. So what does this mean? B'ni b'chayr Yisrael. What does it mean when the Pasuk says, my firstborn child, Klal Yisrael? Or, as the Pasuk says, b'ni matem l'Hashem alekechem. You are children of Hashem your God. What does that mean? Explains the Valtanya Pirish. What the Pasuk is trying to explain to us is this very fundamental, critical Yisoid. We need to understand how unique we are. What is it saying to us? Pirish, right, we're three lines above the bend here in the page. Kimoi shaben nimshach mimayachav. Just like a child is a product of mayachav, of the brain of the father. Now, again, there is all kinds of, there are those who attempt to explain this scientifically, and now with DNA, there's clearly even more, greater, deeper scientific evidence that the DNA of the father is passed on to the child, and the DNA contains within it the entire structure and the gene formation of the child, and so on. So, whatever the father is the child receives that one drop of DNA that creates the child. The child is drawn from the mayach ha'av. And again, we're using specifically mayach ha'av because the mayach is the brain, it's the structure, it contains everything in it. So must we understand, listen carefully, kach kaviyochel, we must understand, anthropomorphically speaking. I have no idea what that means, but it's such a great word. Nishmas kol ish Yisrael, the soul of every Jew, we must understand that what the Torah is driving at with all three of these statements, all three of the statements is the message therein is Klal Yisrael is drawn from the Machshava v'chachmasa Yisbarach and the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch. Now, in order to properly frame this, he tells us the most astounding thing. The Zohar says, "The Iu Chakim." We use the words by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is wise, right? But v'lei b'chach mi'idia. We got to understand that wisdom is not a thing as it is with human beings. The wisdom of a human being is totally separate from the person themselves. A person can acquire wisdom, a person can lose wisdom. A person can die and their wisdom can live on. Right? The wisdom of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, says the Zohar, is a totally, categorically different wisdom. To the point that the language that Chazal uses, Elohu v'chachmosai echad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not compartmentalized like we are. He and his wisdom are one. U'kama shekosav Rambam, like the Rambam writes in several places, a concept which is impossible for us to grasp, and that is, Shehu amada, v'hu ha-yedeya, v'hu ha-yedua. The Rambam writes that God is the knower, he is the knowledge, and he is the vessel that holds the knowledge. So in a human being, you have like this. You have the knower, that's me. Okay? I know that 1 + 1 = 2. Now, my foot doesn't know it. My brain knows it. So there are now three components. There's the piece of information, 1 + 1 = 2. There is my brain that knows it. And then there's me. My foot happens to be part of me, but my foot doesn't know it. Right? By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is the knowledge, he is the brain, and he is the being. Simultaneously, he is all three. Says the Rambam, due to the fact that we deal with wisdom as knowledge, as information, we deal with seichel as a tool that helps us grasp knowledge, therefore we can't even comprehend what it means to be the knower and the knowledge at the same time. Nonetheless, the Rambam writes this. Now, this is a very, very controversial topic. The Maral writes about this Rambam that this concept is apikorsis.
Which one?
He says it's heresy. Say that God, the Maral,
yeah.
The Maral, who's an ancestor of the Baal Tanya, says that to say that God is knowledge is limiting God. You can't limit God in any which way. He's undefinable in any terms.
Hashem is.
Right, that's it. You can't define him in any which way. And then there are those who answer that really they mean the same thing, and of course you have all the, you know, a wealth of material written on this concept.
It's the Rambam, it's not the Baal Tanya. The source is the Rambam.
The Rambam, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and many, many others.
He's saying the Maharal said this, is also an ancestor of...
Yeah. Now, look at the footnote on the side. V'haydu lo'ichach me'akabalah. Although the Rambam had very little exposure to Kabbalah, there's question and there's great controversy among the historians whether the Rambam, unlike the Ramban, Nachmanides, who had great access to Kabbalah, most people accept the fact that the Rambam did not have Kabbalistic knowledge. Nonetheless, in this case, he was not exposed to the wisdom, the body of wisdom of called Kabbalah. Says that in this issue, the wise men of the Kabbalah agreed with the Rambam. Kamei shiksev b'paradis ma'aramak, that was the Arizal's Rebbe, was the Ramak. V'gam lefi Kabbalah z'Arizal yitziva milsa b'sloi b'sayd. And he goes and explains this now, Kabbalistically, how this Rambam is Kabbalistically sound. That this is an absolute inseparable issue. Now, this is one aspect where this is so exciting, is that due to the fact that you're saying the neshama comes from the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, well then, if the wisdom is inseparable from God, and we've got some of the wisdom, what does that say about our neshamas? That means that we're all walking around with God inside of us. The same is true of the wisdom of Torah. Any Torah concept is Chachmas Hashem.
It is Hashem.
And therefore, according to the Rambam, it is God. When we wrap our minds around the Torah concept and we get it, any concept in Torah, I don't care what is a simple pasuk in Chumash, it's the wisdom of Hashem, then we have now encompassed God in our minds, and at the moment that we're actively thinking Torah,
you got God going on.
Then we got God going on all over the place. We're wrapped in Him and He's wrapped in us. I mean, it's wild. I mean, the extensions that this Rambam takes us to is astounding, because once Hashem and His wisdom are one, and we have access to Chachmas Hashem, it's ayam and ayra, then it's awesome. Okay, four lines from the bottom. So we can't understand this. This is, can you find the depth of the wisdom of God? We got to understand that Hashem is thinking and our thinking are way off from one another. They're not the same thing. So what we've established is that the neshama of the Jew is a chelik of the kamimal, is made up of sheer godliness. And we've brought numerous reasons why that is the case, either because Hashem blew it into us, or because it is the Chachma of Hashem. And as a result, Hashem and His wisdom are inseparable, and therefore the neshama is all of b'machshava tchila, and therefore we are imbued, we're walking around with the chelik l'kai. Now, there's a lot of talk here about what does that mean? How do you divide God up, chas v'shalom? Is God divisible? What does a chelik mean? Did we take away from God? Heaven forbid. You can't divide something if it's not divisible. Right? So there's a lot of talk about that. But what's clear is that it is clearly made up of godliness, and nonetheless it does not in any which way diminish from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself.
Your chelik is not the same as mine.
Now he's going to get into that.
Can I ask a question when you said about three things before? I said about personal to the less personal.
Right. Let's wait till he gets into that later in greater, in a lot of depth. The three levushim. Now he asks a bigger kasha. And that kasha is a really troubling question. Because not all neshamas are created equal.
This part is.
Wait, so he says, if you're saying to me that every neshama is a chelik of the kamimal mamash, and you just proved it from all these sources, well, how can you have different types and different levels of neshama? No, even within neshamas. Within Jewish, now, where do you see it? Where do you see such a thing? Three lines from the bottom. Even though we find tens of thousands of divisions within souls. Next page 12. We find infinite numbers. Here you got a real safer. You have a bigger one there. Infinite numbers of levels of neshamas. Where do you see such a concept? Ellie's troubled here. Why we have to accept that there is such a concept? So he says, "Kamoi goydel malis neshamas ha'aves." Like we find the awesome levels of the souls of our forefathers, Umayish Rabbeinu, all of Hashalom. Or you find the neshama of Mayish Rabbeinu. Al nishma is deirusenu ela, the advantage that those souls have over our souls. You hear? Where do you see such a concept? Because our generation is called ikve mishicha. The Sifrei Kodesh, the holy books, refer to our neshamas as the heel. We are the lowest souls. The generations immediately preceding Mashiach were called the heel. Now, what's unique about a heel? Page 12. A heel has no feeling. Right? That the danger of the heel is you could step on something, and then you look later on, oh, I'm bleeding. You don't even realize that you got a rusty nail in your foot. And that's how the neshamas, that's how the Svarim talk about the neshamas, the reason we don't feel. We don't feel godliness. We read about the great people of generations before us who were enveloped and inflamed and engulfed in love and fear and awe and all kinds of things. And, you know, we got to be dragged to do something spiritual. Why? Because we are, that's our neshamas, and that's okay.
On the flip side, if you didn't have a heel, you couldn't stand.
Komt Gavi, and he cheated and read the Ayav Yisrael beforehand. So let's first see what he says, and then we'll go to the Ayav Yisrael. Shemchinis ikvayim mamish. We are mamish, the lowest of the low. We are the heels, ligabe hamayach varesh, compared to the mind, compared to the heads. But forget about that, he says. Not only is that the case, historically speaking, that the avos and Moshe Rabbeinu with the head, and that the other tzaddikim and then later generations were the hearts, and then you had generations that were described as the doers, they were the yadayim and so on, and we are the heels, okay? So not only was that true historically, says the Baal Tanya even further, V'chein b'chol dar v'dar, The same thing plays itself out in each generation. Yesh Roshei Alfi Yisrael, there are the heads of each generation. Shenishmeseim Hem Pchinis Roish Umayach, their neshamas. Within the generation itself, they are the heads and the minds. Ligabi Nishmos Hahoim Hahamoin V'Amer Oretz. They are the minds compared to the souls of the populace, of the general population. V'chein nefashis ligabi nefashis. It's not only true about neshamas, it's true about even the lower levels of nefesh. There are greater nefashis and there are lower nefashis. You find people, you meet people and you counsel with people, and they are struggling with the most base, vulgar instincts. And you have other people who, you know, they just want to sit and learn. You want to wring their necks. They're so irritating. You know, they love Torah and mitzvahs. You know, like wonder, like, what's wrong with these people, right? And here it is. There are different quality souls. That's it, guys. They got better souls than we did. Kichol nefesh. We got to understand that every soul itself is kelula min nefesh ruach neshama. There are levels in each soul. Mikol makim. We must understand, he says, shayrish kol nefesh ruach neshama. The root, the source of no matter what level of soul it is. Nefesh, ruach, neshama, those are the three lower levels of the soul. Kulam, every one of them. Meroyish kol madreges ad soif kol dargin. From the highest of the heights to the lowest of the low. Hamalovish begofami aretz, the lowest of the low that's contained in the body of the greatest ignoramus, v'kal shebekalam, the greatest lightweight. Nonetheless, despite how low it might be, Nimshach, that neshama is drawn mimayach ha'elyon, from the highest mind. Shuchachma ilach ha'biyach, as we said earlier, it comes from a place of the highest wisdom. And he gives us a parable to be able to sink our teeth into how this could be. He says, let me give you an example. Kimashal haben, I'll give you an example of a child. Hanimshach mimayach ha'av. We understand that every kid has a spark, has a droplet of semen that kid came from. Then that droplet came from the mind of the father. Now, let's look at the kid's body. This is one of the most amazing things in a newborn baby. The baby comes out with Baruch Hashem, all the parts, and they have tiny little fingernails. It's the most amazing thing when you look at the parts of a newborn baby. Now, She'afilu tziponei raglov, even the kid's toenails, nishava mitupezu mamish. Where did this very same droplet that created, that was responsible for the creation of the brain, is also responsible for the creation of a virtually lifeless toenail? They both come from the same thing. So the brilliant mind of the child, and of course all of our children that are born are all brilliant, and their toenails all somehow came about from the same DNA contained in the same droplet of semen that came from the Moach HaAv. How could that be that you have two such vastly different organs coming from the same droplet? He says, I'll tell you how it happens. They were incubated. Al yidei shiyosa tisha chadoshim bebet ha'naim, due to the fact that child dwelled for 9 months in the mother's womb, v'yodim ha'madrega l'madrega, and it continued to develop step after step. Lihishtanois, that droplet changed. Ulisavis mimena tziponayim, and it turned itself into toenails. And the wonder is, not only did it evolve into toenails, but v'im kol zeh oidenik shurim yuchedis v'yichud niflevatsum v'muhusa v'yatzmus harishan. Not only did it evolve into it during that 9 months, but if God forbid a certain part of the mind were to stop working, toenails would stop being created. If there's something unhealthy going on, if there's a disconnect, then the most remote body part will stop working. Because ultimately there is a central control that goes from the mind to the most remote body parts. So not only does it evolve and continue to evolve, it's never disconnected. It always will be connected. The proof is, anybody who's ever had the pain of a disconnecting a nail, where does it hurt? It's pain is processed in the mind. So the proof is it's all interconnected. It's still connected with an awesome, wondrous connection. Bimahusa v'yatzmusa, with its essence, Harishan, the first one, Shaisa Tipas Mechaav, that was the droplet that came from the Father. V'gamachshav b'ben. What's more, now, even now, in the Son's now walking around. It's been 40 years since he was a droplet of semen. Okay? Nonetheless, you could take that kid's DNA from his toenail and trace it back to the Father. They could do it medically. They could do it in any facility today. It's amazing that he knew this, 200-something years ago. You could take it and reconnect it back to its source. Sure. V'ben, yinikas ha-tziponayim v'chiyusam nimshechas me'amayach sheberayish k'disa v'gemara. The Gemara says, loivon, the Father contributes the white, shemimenu gidim v'atzomayis v'tziponayim, from which comes, this is the Gemara there discusses, the various contributions that the Father gives and the Mother gives. So the Father's contribution are gidim, atzomayis, tziponayim, the sinews, the bones, the fingernails, love for electronics.
Doesn't mention the brain.
No. Then he says in the brackets, Ukamesh Ksiv Beitz Chaim Shara Chashmal. There he says, he brings from Kabbalistic sources, Beside Levushim Shal Adam Rishon Began Eden Shayit Tziponayim Ebchinis Mayach Tfuna. I have no idea what that means, but something about the fact that the garments from Adam Rishon and Gan Eden were, man at that point was covered totally with fingernail, with nail material. Therefore, he says, I want you to use this parable of the development of the toenails of a child going back to the contribution of the Father. So too should we understand that the Rebbeinu Shalem, the Master of the Worlds, contributes the neshama, and you can have many levels of neshama. It's not a contradiction. So too, literally, kaviyochol, again, anthropomorphically speaking, b'sheirish kol ha-nefesh, ruach ha-neshama, shal klolos Yisrael, we must understand that in the source of every nefesh, ruach ha-neshama of Jews, l'mayla above, b'yiridosai, as it descends, mi-madrega l'madrega, from one stage of development to the next, just like a baby develops and evolves, so too the neshamas go through an evolving process from one level to the next. Ayde Hishtalshlus Hoylama is through the concept called Hishtalshlus. We'll get into this much more at a later stage, but there is a concept called the process of Tzimtzum and Hishtalshlus, where the worlds develop one from the next, from Atzilus to Bria to Yetzira to Asiya. Mechachmosa Yisbarach, from Hashem's wisdom, that's the starting point. Kidichsiv, kulam bechachmosisa. Hashem made them all. Starting point was chachma, and from there nishavu mimenu nefesh ruach neshama shalami aretz. From there, it continues to evolve into the point where it turns into nefesh ruach neshama, even of the most simple people, the p'chusi eretz, the lowest of people. But despite that, im kol zeh oidenu kishureis v'miyuchadois, they are still bound up and connected b'yichud nifla, with a wondrous unity v'atzum, and a strong one, b'mehusan v'atzmusan, with their essence harishon shu'am shachas chach milal. We should understand that it continues to draw every moment from that highest wisdom. Here's how it works, and this is really scary that he introduces this right at the beginning of the Sefer HaTanya, that we got to understand that just as the toenail draws its strength through the foot and up through the heart and then ultimately to the brain, so too must we understand that the souls of the simple people, whom in nefesh, ruach, and neshama shel tzaddikim v'chachamim, they draw their sustenance and their life source through the tzaddikim and the wise people, Roshei b'nei Yisrael shebedarim, through the heads of Klal Yisrael in each and every generation. And he talks about, he'll go on, we'll discuss this next week, that a person who connects with the tzaddik, a person who attaches himself to those tamid chachamim, has a straight, continuous flow of energy, and those who disconnect from him lose that connection with him. Now I want to share with you this point that Gavi brought up before, which is the issue of the Akiv. It seems to be a great insult, the fact that we are the heel generation in history. So Rabbi Friedman directed me to a Oyev Yisrael from the Abderov. The Abderov lived a little bit after the Balatania. They may have crossed, lived in the same time. The Abderov writes in Parshas Ekev. We'll run through it quickly, but it's tremendously worthwhile to see what he says. V'haya, the Pasuk says, V'haya Ekev Tishmon. When the heel will hear. I mean, it means at the end when you will hear. Says the Abderov, Kedei lahavin chazeh, in order to help you understand this, Akdim Akdama Achas, I have to introduce one introduction. And he describes this concept that we're talking about in the most magnificent way. Dinei Kvar Noida, everybody knows, Dekala Neshama Shal Yisrael, that every soul of the Jewish people, Hayu Klulin Ba'Adam Arishin, we were all once part of Adam Arishin. So even, again, genetically speaking, this is the case. If all of us come from Adam, then genetically we all come from Adam. But here he's talking about spiritually. Where were you? He asked man, where were you as part of that? Therefore every human being was once part of Adam Rish. Now, we know that there are souls that are higher and deeper one from the next. Those higher, more lofty souls were once part of Adam Rishon's head. Those are very, very high, deep souls. Those that were once neshamas of Adam's head. Some were part of his body, his torso. Some were part of his feet. And commensurate with the limb that at one point our neshama was part of, we got to understand that that's how much we can attain. That's to that degree can our neshama reach. And we're not called upon to reach any further, any deeper than that. That's when we reach capacity. For sure, those neshamas that were part of the heel of Adam Rishon, Hayu Shvelim, were much lower b'madregos in their level, Me'erach HaNeshamas Ashayin Nechazim B'Gufay. They were much lower than the neshamas that were part of his torso, K'meshiksev, U'mikolshkim B'Meichay. And for sure lower than those neshamas that were part of his mayach. But, V'cheinu B'chol Adam, we should understand that this is the case with every person. Ike Mishkan HaNeshama Hu B'Meichay. The main dwelling place of our soul is in our mind. The ruach is in the lave. That level of ruach dwells in the heart. The nefesh, the lowest level of soul, is becovered, is in our liver. Now, v'chol mashaguf yoyse lamata, we must understand that to the degree that any neshama is lower, k'moyken yismat p'chines haseichel, we got to understand that to that degree will our intellectual capacity for Torah be lower? V'achios, and the life force. If we were somehow to be able to measure life force, the most alive thing in the power in a human body is its heart, right? When you go to sleep, Your foot isn't moving, your foot's not doing anything, but your heart is pumping. The least place, or the place where there's the most amount of little chias, is in the heel. Shu's seif haguf, that's the end of the body. Shesham hachias muat, there's the least amount of life source there, life force there. Says the Apterov, kemoi kein, so too must we understand. Ad heina doirish ha'avram eiz b'riyas odom rishon ad ata, from all the generations that existed from original man until now. Hoyelam nishomis givayim, there were very exalted souls, ash hoyelam achiza beivarim givayim, who their source was in loftier limbs. Shalom the Marishan. Vahilam chiyas harba, they were alive, they were full of life, they had tremendous chiyus. Avalata, but now. Shekvar nishlamu tikkun hanishomis kulam, listen to this language. All of the souls have already been rectified. Omeata leinimtza, now all there's left. Is kima nishomis meik, of all we got left are the heel souls. Shubchinis ikvayim k'meisham chazal beikvus mishicha. This is the language of Chazal in Tractate Saita. Our generation is called the heel of Mashiach. B'soif ha-golus, this is the plight of Klal Yisrael at the end of Golus. Koydim bias Mashiach, before the coming of Mashiach. Oz, we should understand that in our day and age, hanishomais hanishpoim l'mayla, the souls that are sent down from above, himchinis ekev, we are the heels. Shubir v'tikun achrein, this is the very last selection. V'aneshamais halalu hem nimshachin mishir kemas adam rishon, and we are drawn from that gestalt of adam rishon. So far this is a huge put down.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling
pretty. No puns intended. We're all feeling pretty athlete's foot, right? Says the Apterov, Ach l'kol zayis, we must remember despite this. Af b'dor hazeh, even in our generation, sheyesh lonu neshames me'ekev, even in our generation that we have neshames from the heel, mikol makim k'shonim mischazik b'avaydis Hashem, when we put forth our strength in serving Hashem, u'mikashiris atzmei b'odom elyon, we connect ourselves with the prior generations. We become part of a single unit, and we are elevated to our source above. V'cheina Adam. Take it upstairs, please, and give it to the Rebbetzin. Thank you. V'cheina Adam aval pishechius asher hu be'ekev. Who shuffle v'namach mechias aguf, even though we now, in the heel generation, are lower than the life source in the body. Umikalshkin mechias harash, for sure lower than the head. Mikal makayim nonetheless, kishadam edabik asatzmai, when we connect ourselves. Umishabit kol ramach evorim ramach mitzvahs aseim, we connect our limbs to the 248 positive mitzvahs. Vishasagidam and our sinews, lishasam mitzvahs loisas, to the 365 thou shalt not. Umishabit kol evorim tachas alev, and we're in control. And then, he goes on to say, and we connect our hearts, and we bind them to our minds. Then the entire structure of the body is entirely elevated, and it all becomes one huge structure. The first trip, and he goes on to talk about this issue of the unity of the body, that ultimately, without the heel, the body would be missing. When the Rav Zichron Rocha took his first trip to Eretz Yisrael, he went to visit the Brisker Rav, who was still alive, and I think it was the 1960s, early 60s. And the Brisker Rav was of the Misnagdic persuasion. The Rav Zichron paid his respects. He was one of the great Gedolim of the generation. And he expected that it would be a very quick in-and-out visit. So, While he was there, the Bavarav repeated to him, somebody brought up this term of Ikvasid Mashiach, that we're the generation of the heel of Mashiach. So the Bavarav said to him that Remendel of Rimenev, again a contemporary of the Abderav and the Baltanya, said, yes, we are Ikvasid Mashiach. But never forget that the only way the head and the heart can stand upright is if the heel is healthy. If the heel falls, the whole structure falls. It's upon the heel that the entire structure stands. The Brisker Rav got tremendously excited. He walked above Rav all the way out to his car, and before he got in, he says, tell me again the words from Remendel and Minerva. So while it seems like it's a rejection, it's a put down, we dare not forget that we are the Ikvayim. But it's upon the Ekev that the entire structure stands. So, what we learned today here at the first half of Perek Beis is that the Neshama is a Chelek Elikai, that it is made up of godliness. And despite that, the possibility exists for there to be many levels of Neshama. And that the way the lower neshamas receive their chiyus, receive their sustenance, is through the higher neshamas. And there's a filter down of spiritual and physical bounty that flows through the system from the Reish to the Lev and so on, down to the lowest of levels. Mitzvah will take it up from here next Wednesday night.
Is it fair?